except of working real hard and to believe in yourself, you don't have nothing else to do in this world. I'm sorry. This is our job. That everyone can start finally to believe in himself. This is it. If a person doesn't have that daily effort, he can live all of his life, spend all of his life medium, like, alright, everything is okay, I'm cool, I'm learning, I'm praying. We're not going to reach nothing. We're not going to find nothing. From the moment that a man starts to work on that and starts to reveal who that he really is, so the Yetzirah cannot rest. Cannot let the person keep on serving Hashem quietly, because you're not a regular religious person. Just everything that you do starts to grow up fruits, to develop. Everything that you're doing, you put your heart into it, so it's been changed. It's a total different thing. Every movement, every bracha, even from your failures, you're growing, you have success, you're developing, you're running away, you're avoiding the Yetzirah so much, and everyone can achieve such huge things. Everyone can achieve such huge things, and the only thing that is missing is the heart. This is the only thing that is missing from achieving huge things, only the heart. But really, to give your heart to Hashem Yitbarach, it's something that the Yetzirah doesn't want the person to do, doesn't want the person to have that merit to give his heart to Hashem. So he's fighting. And how he fights? He fights in every way, in the meanest ways of them all, in the most cruelest ways of them all. He rebukes you, insults you, he's breaking you. I don't remember where. Maybe? I'm not sure. I think there is a certain rebuke in the end of the book, Chovot al-Vavot, that is, he didn't want it, I think, that he didn't want it to rebuke by himself, so he said, I found a certain rebuke that someone else, a certain chassid, wrote, so I joined, I brought it in the end of the book, that he didn't have a rebuke also, but not from him. So over there it's written, a chassid that wrote to his son, and he's saying bad things about how people are avoiding the Avodat Hashem, and that they can be religious and not to be connected to Hashem Yitbarach at all. And then he's saying that the Yetzirah, when he sees a person that starts to count on Hashem Yitbarach, so immediately he fights with him. This world, the Yetzirah, this world, is fighting with that person to stop him from having Parnassah, for an example. And then usually most of the people are getting crazy, wild by that. Oh, now I don't have money. And we know the story about Rabbi Natan. The parents are coming and phone calls. And what are you doing? And you're crazy. When are you going to take care of yourself? And your wife, she's sorry. And the house and the debts. And we're paying. And what are you going to do? And until when? And when are you going to take care of yourself? And all of those imaginations. And most of the people are falling because of that. And this is the beginning of the obstacles in Avodat Hashem. This is the first attack. Always, this is the first attack. And most of the people are already falling in that first attack. But they don't know, and this is what he writes over there in that rebuke, that the Yetzirah is obligated to give you the Parnassah. He cannot really stop your Parnassah. He just can hold it back for a certain time. But actually, Hashem is going to give you the Parnassah. So the person doesn't realize that he just needs to hold on. He just needs to hold on. Sometimes there are situations that the person needs to go through a certain period of time in his life without Parnassah, but it's not what it usually happens. Usually it's just difficulties of Parnassah in the beginning. You need to adjust, you need to. Yesterday night I made it for the Dut, and I said to Hashem, in the end of the Dut, I said, how dumb, how stupid I can be. How stupid I can be, how many years we're talking on this. There is nothing except of Hashem. There is nothing except of Hashem, and you don't grab it, you don't understand it again, and you can give lectures on that, you can talk about it, you can teach, you can preach, you can do whatever. And you yourself not catching it, you don't understand. Hashem is everything that there is. There is nothing except of Hashem. Hashem is stopping you, Hashem is giving you, Hashem is letting you, Hashem is avoiding from you, Hashem is hiding His face. Hashem is smiling to you. Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. Kel rachum, v'chanun, eretz apayim, v'rav chesed. And it's all Him. And how many times are we going to have to talk about it until I'm going to understand? I don't know. So I'm sorry. I came to apologize today that I'm bothering you so much with my... I'm not catching. Hard to remember. I don't know. Hard to catch. But we're going to talk about it until I'm going to catch it. I'm sorry. I cannot move from that point. I'm sorry.
Until we catch it.
I cannot progress. We cannot move to second grade. We cannot. We have to stay. In Kita Aleph, to say Aleph, it's Alufo Shel Olam, it's Hashem Yitbarach. So we talked a little bit. Torah Lamed Vav. We're in part Hey now, Bezrat Hashem, I think. Yes, part Hey. Ukshebah Leitgalut HaTorah, and when the person breaks that peel and he reveals the Torah, Torah is coming from the word Ora'ah, she's teaching. Teaching means when you reveal the teaching, means you learn the lesson. When you revealed what Hashem wanted to tell you, you thought about it. And a lot of times when you need to clarify things, when you need to understand things, you just need to observe. And it looks like a waste of time, but actually huge spiritual things are happening while you're doing it, but they do it even if you're not talking at all. And you just wait, just looking, checking, observing, trying to understand, Hashem, what are you up to? What are you doing, Ribbono Shel Olam? What are you doing with me? Huge things are happening inside, huge. If we would have those eyes to see what's going on inside of us, the developments that we have every day, you can see it after 1 year or 2 years of tshuva, when you meet your family or your friends again, and suddenly you cannot communicate. And you live on a different planet, and you try to talk to them, and they don't understand the word that you're talking about, and you don't understand also what they want from themselves, which nonsense, what they want, what's going on in their minds. And it's getting radical, very radical. Finally, you find yourself, mamash, like a UFO, looking for yourself. Looking for friends, looking for someone to share with. And you find yourself all alone with Hashem Yitbarach. And it's a gift. It's a huge gift. This is an avodah that for a lot of righteous people, it's very hard for them to come down, to communicate with people. A lot of huge righteous people, they want to share the light that they have, and they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to come back from the heights, from the place that they are at. They're all day attached to the Torah, to the wisdom, to Gemarot, to Halachot, to being so close to Hashem, to be so clean, so pure, and suddenly there's someone that wants to talk about soccer, about baseball games, about food, about cheeseburgers in McDonald's, and you were sitting with him also 10 years ago, eating the same nonsense with him, and suddenly for you it's not an option, you cannot understand what's going on. How are you going to explain to him? You don't even remember why you stopped. You don't know what to do. This is the avodah of afatzah. This is why it's so hard to do afatzah, the distribution. This is why we can understand a little bit on the greatness of a Rav, that he's able to go back to those places, to write books, that's going to illuminate the world in a way like that, that everyone that reads that book, his life mamash been changed and opened, and wow, opened my eyes, and suddenly, and not that I haven't read it before, but now when I read it, now I feel so connected, and on, thousands, millions of stories from people that it's a life changing for them, just to how Av is doing it, only out of love, out of Ahavat Israel, loves the other person so much that he doesn't think about himself at all. And he's not busy any longer in the Torah Kedoshah anymore. And he's not he is, but he's all with you. Everyone can feel that. There was, I think Eric told me that once, a person came to Eretz Israel from United States, and he talked to Eric, he wanted to meet with a Rav, and that person doesn't know to talk Hebrew. And a Rav, his English is, Baruch Hashem, very weak. And he can understand, but he cannot answer back. It's hard for him to talk. And that person talked to Eric, and Eric set a meeting between a Rav and that person. And this is it, just that Eric didn't show up to the meeting. And that something happened, and he didn't show up. He forgot, he didn't remember that he supposed to. There's a certain reason he didn't show up to the meeting. And after the meeting, he suddenly remembered. He said, hey, I'm going to call him, I'm going to check what happened in that meeting, how they were communicated. And he called that friend of him, and that friend is telling him, it was an amazing meeting. We sat for over half an hour, and that person was sitting with Rav Shalom for over half an hour in Rav Shalom's house, alone, with no translator. Mm-hmm. And he's sharing and talking, and Rav is with him 100%. And everything was perfect. And no one felt no lacking. And they hugged, and he didn't realize that Rav's got even a problem in English. And Rav was with him 100%. He went out satisfied and happy, and it was perfect. How can it be? It's all out of love. You care, you love, you smile. It's not because Arab was with him, really. I blessed him, and I talked to him, and everything was perfect. Everything is out of love. What it means, love? Out of your will. If you want to be with him, you're going to be able to be with him. If you want to go down to his place, you're going to be. It all depends on what you want. It all depends. If you want to hold in the heights, in those high places that you're holding, and you don't want to go down from your Limud Torah, great. It's going to be hard for you to go down. But if you forgot from yourself long time ago, and you're ready to go down for everyone, to all of his nonsense, to all of his difficulties, to all of his doubts, to all of his questions, you're going to be there. And this is our job. People like us have to have that point of honesty to remember where we came from, which hell, which massacre, holocaust we all came from. Each and every one of us, we came straight delivery from hell, straight from hell. Every one of us, we were inside the stomach of the snake, inside, deep inside. Each and every one of us have to remember that, and not to forget that. Not to forget that. And to have that power. To remember that. And to understand our friends. To understand each and every one of our friends that are going through difficulties in their lives. That they have horrible downs. That we cannot understand how they fall into those places. You have to remember. You have to understand. This is your job. This is why they took you through that process that you're going to remember. This is your quality, that you're going to have a heart. And not to be so excited, no, but today I can learn Torah, I can pray. If you see that there is someone that is stopping you, that is trying to hold you back from doing tshuva, of course you're not allowed to let him stop you. But if you see just people that are suffering, that it's hard for them, you have to give everything to help them. You have to give everything that you can to help those poor guys. If you find yourself that you're not able to do that physically, have to sacrifice time to pray on Am Yisrael. Rav Shalom said the minimum is 10 minutes a day. Minimum 10 minutes a day to think about brothers and sisters. Have to think about them. When you work like that, that also you learn, and also you don't forget, and you do hafatzah also, you pray, you learn, you do chesed, helping people, kindness, doing hafatzah, distribution, even in regular conversation, talking, Hashem sees that. Hashem sees that you give everything that you have, and Hashem going to help you to develop, Hashem going to help you to grow. People that just put all of their powers in Limud HaTorah, they're not reaching what they need to reach. They don't find that heart. Where you find that heart? That heart have to come out of labor, have to come out of effort, have to come out of effort that you care, that you sacrifice time, that you give from what that you have, from what that you own, from what that you have. When you give like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He opens, a man can look for the elevator for all of his life and not to find it. And a person can walk one step after the other, and one day he realizes that he, mamash, he's walking already in Beit HaMikdash. Already. You're there. You're already there. Suddenly you look back and you find yourself that you're holy, that you're pure, that you're glued to Hashem, that you're happy, that you have everything. So, you don't need to create those things. Hashem is the creator. We just need to give the heart. Tnu libchem elai. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. All of the time to try. To say, where is my heart? Where is my heart holding today? What can I do with my heart? What can I do? Today there is a person that it's so hard for him to see. Maybe I'm going to sit with him 10 minutes. There is a person that I saw that he's bothered, that he's suffering, that he's got an angry face, an frustrated face, and sad face. I'm going to talk to him today for 10 minutes. I'm going to ask him, what's going on? How are you? So many people stayed in yeshivot, and there are a lot of stories like that. People that stayed in yeshivot only because that someone asked them, how are you? What's going on? There was a famous story on one of the Gedolei Ador, I don't remember, from the Litvish world. And one day he told his story, how he became to be such a Gedolei Ador, that he was very rejected in the yeshiva, in Yeshiva Ktana, that he was learning, and no one talked to him, no one liked him, no one was learning with him, and he was all alone and so sad and frustrated. And one day he decided that this is it, that he leaves. And he went to his room to pack everything, and he packed all of his luggage, everything, whatever he had, his suitcase, and he said, I'm going back home, this is it. And when he forgot something outside, he had to go 1 minute from the room outside, and on that moment, one of the elder Avrechim came to him and saw him and told him, oh, how are you? Long time no see, and I miss you, what's going on? How is it going in the Limud? And he just care about him for 1 minute conversation in the doorway, in the mizdaron, hallway. And he came back to his room and started to cry, and he said, this is it. He decided, I'm gonna be like that Avrech. I'm gonna stay here and I'm gonna smile to everyone, and this is it, and I'm gonna support everyone, I'm gonna love everyone, I'm gonna care about everyone, I'm gonna ask everyone, how are they? And this is what that he done. And he began to be one of the Gedolei Ador. One of the Gedolei Ador. Rav Shalom told us once that a person came to the yeshiva in the evening a few years ago and asked, where is Rosh Yeshiva? So Rav Shalom asked him, what do you need? So he told him, where is Rosh Yeshiva? So he told him, what do you need? So he told him, I'm asking you, where is Rosh Yeshiva? He told him, I'm Rosh Yeshiva. What do you need? So he told him, Rosh Yeshiva is cleaning the yeshiva at night? Yes. Stayed up late, cleaning the yeshiva, fixing like Yeshua the benches that the students tomorrow morning are going to be able to come and to sit, cleaning the cafeteria that people are going to be able to enjoy from every cup of coffee, every cup of tea. B'sha'a achat, אם זה בסדר. I told you that, I'm going to tell you again. Who going to be the next Nachshon Ben Aminadab? Who going to be the one that's going to open the sea to all of Am Israel to walk in dry land, in the middle of the sea? in the middle of the flood, that we're in that flood now, the flood that is covering also on the highest mountains, that even rabbis don't believe in Hashem, that even huge rabbis, head chief rabbis of yeshivot, don't believe in Hashem, cannot pray, cannot talk to Hashem. Take a chief rabbi to the field, tell him, say to Hashem, Shalom Aleichem. Say to Hashem, Shalom Aleichem. Say, hello Hashem. Are you able to do that? To say, Shalom Hashem. Good morning Hashem. Good afternoon Hashem. He's not able to do that. He cannot understand that Hashem is there with him in the same time in the field. To learn Torah, he's able to. Tell him, say to Hashem, Boker Tov Hashem. How are you, Hashem? He feels like the biggest moron in the world. He cannot understand that Hashem is listening to every word. He feels so stupid. He feels like an idiot to say Shalom to Hashem. What's the problem? Hashem is here. Why won't you going to tell him Shalom Aleichem Hashem, Boker Tov Hashem? How you start your Itbodedut in the morning except of saying Shalom Aleichem, Boker Tov? What? How are you going to start? Boker Tov, good morning Hashem, good evening Hashem. What are you going to say to Hashem? Hashem, I need. First of all, say Shalom Aleichem, Shalom, Toda, thank you Hashem, you brought me to the field. Simple things for us. Someone else is going to be a chief rabbi, is not able to open his mouth. He cannot say Shalom Aleichem, Ribbono Shel Olam. He cannot say. He cannot say that. This is why we need to understand our greatness. Our greatness. That with all of our lackings, we have that simplicity that we just, we got it. We got it. This is it. We can understand. We got it. Hashem helped us. And Hashem gave us something that is so pure and good. And actually everyone can have it. You don't even have to be a Jew to have that simple thing. Faith in the Creator. You don't need to be a Jew for that. You just need to believe that there is a Creator. This is it. And He gave that to us. And this is our job. La'ir et ha'olam kulo v'tuvo. To illuminate all of the world with His goodness. Goodness. That everyone gonna know, remember that Hashem is good. What is Hashem? Good. And what He is doing? Only good. So what's everything? Good, good, good. This is it. Good. Ez tov Hashem. Kama tov Hashem. How Hashem is good. How much Hashem is good. Hashem is so kind. And Hashem is so kind, even in the smallest things of them all, that we don't understand the importance of them. That you have cycles, that you have peot. I gave a shiur in Shabbos night after the seudah, the meal, at 11:15 at night, someone, a neighbor, knocked on my door, asked me, Rav, are you awake? I told him, yes, awake. Sitting, learning something. He said, can you give a shiur 14 goyim from Poland? They're here in a Hasid Gur Sable house in close to Beit Israel, Shtiblach. You have to come to give a shiur. Wife, is it okay? I'm going. Yes, do whatever you want. 11:15, who cares? Go. So I went. Half of the table men, half of the table women, non-Jews sitting, one Hasid Gur in the end of the table, the Madricha and a certain rabbi sits in front, and this is it, people came. So, what I'm going to talk about? Talking to Hashem Yitzhak, what can you tell them? Parshat Shavua, what can you do? Give them something to go home to, you could, with what they get, what... Talk to the Creator. So I spoke for 10 minutes about that in this generation everyone can talk to Hashem, and Hashem is to the Creator, and the Creator, He listens, and then He's with you, and He answers the prayers, and everyone to talk on the worst problems that you have, to take it and to talk, and to give them something for the way back, that they are gonna have something before they're gonna forget it in the airport, something until the airport, something to deal with while they're in Eretz Israel. And in the end, one of the rabbis over there asked them, someone have a question? So one of them lifted his hand and said, I have a question. A big fat guy, Polish guy. And he's saying, I'm going to tell you a secret that I learned in that day. I told them I came to teach, and I finally learned. My grandmother, from the side of my mother, my mother's name was Burko. They came from Berkovich in Ukraine. And my grandmother, the mother of my mother, her name was Bogoslavsky. That was my grandmother's name, Bogoslavsky. So Bogo, it's the creator, it's Hashem. Slavsky, I thought it's big, it's huge, it's a Kela Gadol. But actually, the concept to say Bogoslavsky means Baruch Hashem. Thank you, God.
Wow.
So I have that family name somehow.
Wow.
Baruch Hashem. It's family name Baruch Hashem. So after we talked, so they asked if someone have a question. One said, "Yes, I have a question." "Yes, what's the question?" He said, "Why you Jewish have those things the sides of your head?" What you can answer? Like I said, you need to give him something to walk with to the airport. You don't have the answer. There is halakha. They care. What the Baal Shem Tov said, that the side curls needs to be long, need to be wide. What you can answer to him? He's a minhag. Doesn't care. You need to take care of him. You don't need to answer his question. We're not working for no one. We have our job to illuminate the world with Hashem's goodness. So I told him that we have the mitzvah of pe'ah in the field, that you need to leave the corners of your field. If you have 1,000 kilometer square field, you need to leave the corners. So for you, it's nothing. You just make a circle with a plow, and you don't really care about the corners. But for the poor people, it's very important. Actually, you save two families with those corners, that you have a mitzvah to leave them, but for you, actually, it doesn't damage you at all to leave those corners. But you saved two families by that mitzvah. And then I told him, and there is a righteous man named Rabbi Nachman Librestev, that he's buried in Uman in Ukraine. And he said to the Hasidim that even if they're going to find themselves in hell after 120, he's going to save them from the peot, from the side curls. And what it means, if that Hasid doesn't have peot, if he doesn't have peot, so what? Rabbeinu cannot hold him. So what it means, peot? Peot are those corners. What are those corners? Those are small things that for you, they're very small, and you don't really care about them. But for someone else, they're very important. So I told him, this is the reason why we have those side curls. It's a chidush. Nice chidush. That we're always going to remember that even small things count. That we're going to remember that. That even small things are very important. For you, it's not so important that page of Gemara that you learned today, those 10 minutes of Tehillim that you said. Yeah, from you, you're supposed to be a chief rabbi. You need to be Rosh Yeshivat Esha Torah or something. So it's not enough for you. Even though that Rab Noach Weinberg testified himself that he had years on years that he wasn't learning at all. He didn't have time. Didn't have time. Had to save people. And you need to save lives. So Limud Torah is secondary. What can you do? You need to save lives. It's halacha, not to be a chassid shote. So for you, that little bit of limud doesn't count so much. But Hashem is reminding you, peot, corners. And Rabbi Nachman promised that even from those small things that you're going to achieve, by those small things, he's going to save you. He's going to take you out from hell. We need to believe in ourselves that we're pleasing Hashem Yitbarach. Every one of us, we're pleasing Hashem Yitbarach. We're illuminating the world with His goodness by saying Baruch Hashem, by saying thank you Hashem, by doing every small thing. And even though that we have that Yetzra Ra to see lights and to live our life in crazy speed of the light and every moment to grow and need to believe, like Yaakov Avinu, like we said, that you believe that Asher Kideshanu Mitzvotav, that the smallest mitzvah of them all is so huge. Small mitzvah, for you it's small, but for Hashem it's huge. You learn one word of Torah today, you know what it means? You don't understand.
righteous people that were learning all day long, even 20 hours a day, they were doing that because every word was important to them. Not because that they wanted to complete a masechta a day or 100 pages a day. Because they couldn't drop the last word. They had to learn another word, just another line, just another sugiya, another one small thing now just to understand what that mefarish have also to stay on that, because it's still not 100% clear and he wants a little bit more. And he can learn like the Chazon Ish that was fainting almost daily on his standard, learning until he doesn't have more powers. One time they heard huge noise from his room and students came in and they saw him lying on the floor and they asked him what's happened. He said, I wasn't calculating my limud well enough. I always learn a lot until I have enough power to drag myself to the bed. He learns until he takes out all of his power, just leaves enough to faint, to fall on the bed in the end of his limud. And today... he was learning too much.
And he couldn't find the bed. So he fell on the floor on the way to the bed.
Rabbi David Chaim Stern told me that there is no righteous man like the Chazon Ish, that every word that he said 60 years ago still exists until today. Every decree, every word, everything that he said is good, is succeeding. Everything he said is bad, is falling. And everything, his mouth was perfect, was pure. All of his heart was intent to Hashem. And everyone, again, every one of us have those powers. From a tree of apples, only apples grow. Each and every one of us, somewhere, like I told you now today, I'm also coming from a family that calls Baruch Hashem. Means every one of us have those roots. Every one of us. Every one of us, if you survived, if your family survived until today, you have a merit. If you survived the Girush Sfarad, you have a certain merit. If you survived the Holocaust, you have a certain merit. If they somehow saved your family before of the Holocaust, you have a certain merit. Like I told you today, everyone that lives in Eretz Israel, you have a certain merit. We don't know. You don't recognize yourself still as refugees, but you are. You don't see that now. People that establish United States, that built United States before of the Holocaust, they had imaginations that they're building, that they came, that they have had free choice. After a few years, they realized that they've been saved, that Hashem saved them. It's all the same. We don't know what's going to be in the world. We know that this is home. I know that if Jerusalem was religious like Bnei Brak, that only religious people would live in Jerusalem, today, now Mashiach would have come. Mashiach would have come. If people just would keep Shabbos only in Jerusalem. And people that are doing 1 hour it would do it. And people that are doing 1 hour it would do it. How many people you think you should have? You don't know. It can be that even one. It can be that 200 more. We lack of 300. We don't know the numbers. We don't know. Lo alecham lacha ligmor. We don't need to complete the job, the work. We need to put our effort to bring your family to Eretz Israel, to bring your friends to Eretz Israel, to bring your relatives to Eretz Israel, to bring another person, another family, another one. This is our job. To save another one, to bring another one to Eretz Israel, to wake him up, to tell him hello. You're asleep. My best friend, you're asleep. Come to Eretz Israel. Kiss the Kotel HaMaravi. Come to one class. Do 1 hour with Bodedut in Shmuel HaNavi. We'll talk later. You're going to see that his life is going to change. So you're going to have to tell us, alright, I have things to close. I'm going 1 year, 1 year and a half. I don't know what. But he's already in a different path. He realized that Eretz Israel is home. Before you were here, it wasn't an option. I told you that in Uman, that guy spoke with Vichy. He told him, I live in New York. And he said, it doesn't look
normal option for me to come to live in Eretz Israel. But when I speak with you, when I hear that really you're doing it, you live in Eretz Israel, so I can see that maybe, yes, it can be. Over there, he works for 16 hours every day in the 50th floor of a certain great building. He cannot see the sky from that building. He cannot see. He cannot see. He cannot. He feels in hell, but he doesn't know that there is home. In the communication, in the tikshoret, in the news, you see a war zone, you see fights, you see kidnapping people. In the United States, every 1 hour they kidnap people. Murdering people every minute in the United States. And here, nothing goes on. Everything is quiet. But the news are making everything wild and crazy. No, you cannot go at New York at night. You cannot go. People are hitting each other and killing each other, and women and children. Why? With no reason. Just it's a new game, killing people in the streets. This is
it.
Schools shooting people. No, but Tzahal, the army of Am Israel. We're not talking about the United States Army. We have, where is Yochanan? Yochanan is here, going to tell us stories what they were doing in Iraq, the war in the Gulf. Going to tell you stories on the U.S. Army, what they were doing over there. But Tzahal, the cruel Jews, the one that ruins Germany, the one that now ruined the United States. The one that are ruined Egypt and ruined all of the world, one country after the other. They're coming and ruin and moving on. They ruined Egypt. And then they came to Germany and ruined Germany and Spain. We need to believe that Hashem is with us. And to pray that Hashem is going to help us, that Hashem is going to give us the tools, the abilities, the powers to wake up our brothers. There are people in the world that they can help us. There are people that if they just going to wake up to understand the Rachmanut that there is on them, how huge the complaint is on them when they're asleep, when we're suffering here, when we're fighting here, and they live quietly over there, they don't realize how much they are in danger. They don't understand why Naomi, why the children and the husband, Elimelech and Mahlon Bekilion, they died over there in Moab, because they were rich and they were afraid to stay in Eretz Israel, because they saw poverty in Eretz Israel. And they were afraid that people are going to ask for charity from them. So they went to hide in the United States of those days in Moab. And they were hiding with their money over there in Moab. And they died over there because of that. And Naomi came back empty-handed. Came with faith. Came with a rebuke from Hashem Yitzbarach back. People are asleep. People are drunk over there. People are stoned over there. They live in a dream over there. They don't realize that Hashem Yitzbarach is waiting. And we're telling them, you can help us to bring the Geulah. You can help us to bring Mashiach. Your families, your rich families, everyone that have a certain ability, one that have control, one that have talents, one that have money, one that have power of influence, one that have power in the government, one that have power in the communication, in the television, everyone, one that is a singer, one that is an actor, one that is, I don't know what, a taxi driver, you can help us. You can help us. And we need your help. And this is our job, your job and my job, to be that bridge for people to make that way to Eretz Israel, to come. Thousands of them, millions of them needs to come. God bless America.
Yeah.